Crime and love. That's absolutely untrue.
We're going to talk about that in the next 45 minutes. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Unbelievable.
Your talk radio. Phone lines here 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center is on the cutting edge of technology. They have got that Da Vinci, the XI surgical robotic system. That means it helps the surgeon perform minimally invasive surgery with an advanced set of instruments and a 3D high-definition view, less intrusive, less pain, reduced risk, and faster recovery times. Well, what's better than that? Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts there. Okay. We welcome Michael DeQuisto, Reading City Councilman, kind of the maverick of the group, you might say. Can I say that?
You can say that if you want. You're entitled to your opinion.
I'm entitled to my opinion. And what I was going to ask you about, there was two things, but one specifically, of course, is the sale of the land. I'm sorry, it's not land, it's a road. The sale of a road that effectively blocks the rancheria from using that road to expand, if the BIA says, yeah, you can build it there, it's your property.
Well, it's technically, from my law school training, it's technically land that has a road on it.
Okay, technically. Done in closed session.
Let me start from the beginning.
Okay.
and try to put it in a little bit of context, because
good.
I think that'll help. And your listeners are very smart, and they probably a lot of them have heard this already, but... and I don't know the history back to the 1600s, but at one point the city owned the piece of property, and they sold it. The council sold it. My understanding that was Patrick Jones, Gary Catt, and Rick Bassetti.
Now, that was the Strati property.
That was the Strati property. What,
but didn't they own other property already?
They may have owned another piece, but the Indians owned other property. So when they bought the Strati property from the city, it completed their...
Right, their purchase. They had made from the city.
Correct.
Right. Now, they had offered this property up to, I understand, Mr. Emerson, because he had property down there.
I've heard that story anecdotally, and that he was not interested in purchasing it at that time.
Right, okay.
So whatever, that part's done is done.
Because he already has a...
He has a large piece of property down
there. Yeah, down there. Okay.
So I understand as part of that sale to the Indians, there were representations made. Again, this is anecdotally, that they would not put a casino on the property. There's a simple solution for that. When you sell the property, is you put what they call a deed restriction in, which says, I'm selling you the property, and you agree not to put a casino on there. For whatever reason, that would be the Strati property. So for whatever reason, that was not included in the deed.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
That would have ended this whole thing back then.
It would have prevented it. It might have prevented the sale.
Yeah.
But it would have solved the whole problem. In my view, if that's what they said and the city was relying on it, it's poor negotiation skills on behalf of the taxpayers by not including that. And if it was true, and if it wasn't true, and they were going to build a casino, then everything would be up front. You could still decide whether you want to sell it or not. But that's done is done. You can't do anything about that.
Right. And the land does belong to the Reading Rancheria.
The land belongs to the Reading Rancheria, right. and they have an absolute right to ask to put it in trust. And if it goes in trust, they can put a casino on there, and they're within their legal rights to go and do that. So the city initially, when the EIR, the federal EIR came out, Environmental Impact Report, the city council decided 5-0 to write a letter of non-support and essentially said we don't have a problem with them expanding where they currently live, or currently have their casino, but we don't think that this is a good location for a new casino.
That's the gist of what it said. And why was that?
I'd have to look at the letter again to see exactly what it says, about a 3-page letter. The gist of it was I think that they liked the way it looked. They didn't want the look there. I think each council person probably had his or her own reason.
The empty land there. They liked the way
they
it looked.
They liked that the way it looked.
As opposed to across the highway that where the land was sold, and now you've got big signs that say Panda, the Panda Express, and In-N-Out, and all that.
Yeah, as opposed to that. That's the other one was there were a number of constituents who lived in the area who had river property, and they were concerned about issues with the river and issues with noise and issues with, you know, change is hard sometimes. People don't like change.
Is this the same group that was opposed to Costco for the most part?
I think they were part of it, but I think there were other different people being opposed for different reasons. So the city writes that letter.
Okay.
And basically, it's not up to the city. It's up to the federal government as to whether they do it or not.
So, as does the county. The county also writes a letter.
And the county also wrote a letter, too. Then what happened was there was a private landowner who owned a piece of property immediately adjacent to the what was formerly the Strati property. He passed away. It was a doctor in town. And when he passed away, bought his property. And they want to put a permanent conservancy easement, is my understanding, and they want to put the trust building down there. And it's a nice piece of property. That piece that was sold did not include a portion of land that was the road, the end of Bocelli Lane. So the city, this is my understanding, the city was approached by a representative of the trust.
This is city property, and it's
city property,
and it's a road.
It's a road. City, and there's some utility easements, I think, that are down there as well. So they were approached.
Yeah,
and they
said there's a sewer or manholes there.
There's a few things like that. So they were approached, and they said, we want to buy it. And it was out of the blue. And there was a proposal made that was to buy it. There were discussions in closed session because it's a real property transaction, and you're not supposed to – they don't want public – if you're going to buy a piece of property, you don't want to debate it in public so the other side knows what you're thinking. Well, it makes sense to get the best deal for the taxpayers.
You're an attorney. You understand that very well.
Get the best deal for the taxpayers?
No.
Let me write that one down.
That's the reason.
Because we're going to come back and visit that one.
That's the reason that they have in closed session. It seems to me, and I don't know the answer to this, is that once the closed session is done and the deal is made, you ought to be free to talk about who said what. I certainly know individually you can, and you're allowed to express your views and what it was. So it was discussed in closed session. There were some terms that were went back and forth. The issue was not really the price of the property, because the effect of it, which everybody knew, would be to essentially block off access for the casino, or make access much more difficult. Not block it off entirely, but make it much more difficult. Mm-hmm. So there were some discussions about that, and it ultimately came out that there was an agreement by the buyer to indemnify the city.
Indemnify them?
So let me just explain what indemnify means.
Thank you.
Indemnify means that if the city gets sued because of the transaction,
which seems to be happening,
the buyer will say, okay, I will shoulder the burden. I'll pay for your lawyers. I'll pay for any judgment. I'll do this. I'll do that. And that's something that's open to negotiation between the two parties. In my view, because it was inviting a lawsuit by doing this, I said there should be full indemnity across the board.
And what happened then?
That was not agreed to by the council.
And why was that?
Because I couldn't get two other votes as a practical matter to
agree
to.
Okay, so how much indemnity is the people that bought this? I think it's Shasta Land Trust.
$100,000.
Okay, so $100,000. In other words, if it goes to
That's how much it's sold for.
No.
$100,000 means that if the city gets sued, which we did,
okay,
the first $100,000 of legal fees and or judgments will be paid by the buyer.
Okay.
And
anything over that,
$100,001, it goes to the taxpayer. Not the city, the taxpayer.
Correct. The first dollar over $100,000, it goes to the taxpayer.
What if this thing drags out? What if it's just a nasty, drawn-out affair, and it costs $250,000.
And you subtract $100,000 from $250,000, and the city's on the hook for $150,000.
No, the taxpayers are on. I keep saying that.
I shouldn't say the city. The city technically is on the hook, but the city's only source of money is from taxpayers.
It's from taxpayers.
So you're exactly right.
Right. Now, were you for this?
I was opposed to it.
Because of the indemnity thing?
Principally, I was opposed to it because of the indemnity thing.
Okay.
Had the indemnity been a full indemnity, I probably would have approved of the deal in principle, but I also did not like the way the deal was undertaken.
Okay, well, let's take a break here on that. Because
that's a carefully chosen word there, Michael. Undertaken.
Well, you know, and I think that is where my ire was raised on this.
And I'm happy to be transparent and tell everybody what I think about it.
I absolutely, I know that. That's why I am always happy to have you on. There's, I know if you're asked a question, you're going to say that, you know, you're going to tell the answer to it, you know, and warts and all.
Your opinion and how you feel about it. And that's the important thing is the transparency of the individual who is holding an office.
Hey, did you know that with the Sleep Number bed, the Sleep IQ technology, it tracks how you sleep. And then, you know, so you can know every morning how well you slept.
Tells me how smart I am. I start the day thinking I'm just a jive. Yeah.
There you go. Hey, you know, the other thing, too, is that 83%, now, 80, not 84, not 82, 83% of couples sleep too hot or too cold.
Right.
Which is why one of you will have covers all the way up to their chin and the other one is sleeping there naked with the covers off. And if the dog gets near and pushes them over to the other
side.
Right now, the new 360, Sleep Number 360 smart bed creates your own personal microclimate. Think about that. So it can keep you cooler or warmer. It's with a new fabric they have there. Compared to average sleepers, Sleep Number bed owners sleep almost an hour more every night. But the first thing you have to do is get in the bed.
Get to bed.
Get in the bed.
Right, Carl.
That's right. Okay, I realize I have problems with that.
Stay up to midnight watching Band of Brothers.
And here's the other thing, too, is you can adjust the bed. You can adjust the bed. So Linda's Sleep Number setting is 45. Mine is usually 55. My Sleep Number setting is usually 55. Last night it was 100. Now I slept all through the night, but I woke up this morning going, gosh, I feel a little different. And I looked over and saw that I had forgotten to set it. So, hey, look, right now. Introducing a new temperature balancing Sleep Number 360 smart bed. Save up to $1,000 on a new 360 smart bed plus smart adjustable base. Proven quality sleep is a life-changing sleep. Only at Sleep Number stores or the sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number store, of course, is in the Target Shopping Center next to the Vitamin Shop. We'll be right back with Redding City Councilman Michael DeQuista. To Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Hey, you snooze, you lose.
Good morning, everybody. And, of course, it's currently 60 degrees in the downtown studios. We're going to have a hazy day with our temperatures around 90 and overnight lows of 57.
Okay. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at
Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. Judy Maxwell and her team are spectacular, helping families, veterans, business owners since 1993, located on Hilltop Drive and right next to Members First Credit Union. Give them a call at 221-0441.
And we are here with Redding City Councilman Michael DeQuista. We're talking about the sale of a road to the opponents of the Redding Rancheria, which effectively, if the Redding Rancheria gets permission to build, would severely impact their ability to bring people in and out. Is this correct?
That's one way to put it.
How would you put it?
Well, they have access to the property through for its current use, which is agriculture. That's remaining, so that hasn't been taken away. The difficulty comes in that nobody from the city had ever mentioned this to them before, and they had sort of assumed that they would use Bocelli Road to get access. So it was one of those things that hadn't been mentioned, I don't think, in previous discussions, and everybody just sort of assumed it would be that way, and then all of a sudden, boom, it wasn't. The other issue that I had with the sale was that it put the city in the middle of a fight between two behemoths, between the Indians and Sierra Pacific. And I use Sierra Pacific generically, but that's what it was. And you look at it and you say, from the interest of the taxpayers, what interest do we have to get in the middle of this fight?
And
that gets me back to the indemnity, where I said, if you want to get in the middle of the fight, at least try to protect the taxpayers so they're not on the hook for any money.
And when you said that to people, what was the reaction?
I'm not sure I can say what was said in closed session. I can tell you this, that my view was not successful, and there were opposing views that ranged from I don't care to I think $100,000 is enough to let's just move forward and do it. It's not a big deal. There was a separate issue, and that had to do with the actual procedure that was used by the city, where they vacated the easement or the roadway, and then they declared it surplus property, and then they sold it all right away. I don't know if the city has ever done that in the past or if this was the first transaction that ever did it. It was done. There was notice in closed session involving the piece of property. I think it had an AP number. But unless you looked at the agenda and then you looked up the AP number, it wasn't obvious to anybody what it was.
It wasn't like underlined and said, hey, we're looking at selling property like that.
No, it wasn't underlined and it wasn't like that. It was done relatively quickly. There's another possibility, and I don't recall if this was mentioned or not, and that would be to say, let's have a bidding. If the city really decides they don't need it and they want to get rid of it as surplus property, like the lots along Victor Avenue that they finally put a sign up they're going to try and sell, well, normally you would sell surplus property.
To the highest bidder.
To the highest bidder,
right.
Which would be in the best interest of the taxpayers.
Right.
That didn't happen either.
Why, and here's a question, why did Ready Rancheria sue?
So the lawsuit is, I looked at it once it was sent to us. The gist of it is that the procedure that was followed wasn't proper, that when you vacate the property and you declare it surplus property, you have to comply with certain provisions of the Street and Highways Code or some state law that the city didn't comply with. I don't believe that they're asking for any monetary damages in the lawsuit. I think they're just asked. I think if they win the lawsuit, we have to revote. The gist would be from a court, you didn't do this properly, so we're going to undo it, and then you're back to where you started from, and you can decide if you want to negotiate more, if you want to do it or not do it. I don't. It would depend what it said.
So essentially, approached the city about taking this piece of property, declaring it surplus, and then buying it.
I'm not sure whose idea it was to do the declare surplus and buy it. If I had to guess, probably the city's. But
really?
Somebody, I don't know. I don't know how sophisticated either one of them would be as far as saying this is the mechanism for you to accomplish it. It was presented to us as this is how we're going to go do it. But I didn't ask who
this
thought
is,
of this.
This is how we're going to do it. You mean from the city bureaucracy said
from
that.
The staff proposal was this is how we propose to do it in the following steps, and then the council gets to vote on whether they want to approve it or not approve it in that order.
Now, so
there's one other issue, and that entered into my thinking, and there's a claim in the law called interference with economic advantage or prospective economic advantage, and another concern that I had, which was a big concern, was that everybody knows they want to develop the casino down there. And if you cut off their access or limit their access, which essentially you could argue they've done, you could get sued for interfering with their prospective business advantage, which is if we can't put the casino there or it costs us a bunch more money to put it somewhere else. Now, that may not happen. There may be defenses to that lawsuit. But that could be a lot of money and a long fight. And I believe that the Indians are in this for the long run. Tracy Edwards said that the other day. They're, you know, if they don't get it through this administration, they're going to keep trying. So I was concerned about that as well, which also led me to say you need this full indemnity. They have not sued for that yet.
Mm-hmm.
They may not. That's completely up to them. I don't know if they will.
They may
or they
be
won't.
Listening right now.
Well,
yeah. But here's the thing.
They have smart lawyers. So I'm not telling them anything they don't know.
No, I know that. But the thing then is okay, we'll pay the first $100,000, and then they're letting the city and the taxpayers fight the Rancheria if this drags out and it goes into hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm. That's the gist of it.
Do you see where people are upset about this because of the, you know, everything you hear about Reading, which I didn't believe, was the old boys, you know, old boys network making all the decisions and all that, and something like this happened in a closed session and then brought out, and the city, I mean, we couldn't go to city council meetings back in May.
Well, that was another issue that I had, which was the timing. And although they wanted the sale to close quickly, I said, this is a long-term process, so why don't we wait until we can publish this and have the public comment come in and do this? And that fell on deaf ears as well. Mm. It was, no, we're just going to go do this way. It's been noticed properly, and that's the way life goes.
And what is noticed properly?
Well, they put it on the agenda, comes out 72 hours before the meeting, and if you put it on the agenda and you describe it sufficiently, which says property vacation, property sale, and identifies the assessor's parcel number, whoever prepares the agenda believes that's sufficient.
Okay.
And, but if you don't look up the parcel number, you're never going to know.
As a member of the public, you're not. They also do provide staff reports, and I believe there was a map provided. So if somebody had actually looked at the agenda and then looked at the staff report that we're provided and the is available to the public, it would show a map that shows what piece it is exactly and where it's located.
Now, I understand the negotiators got more money than it was worth.
Yeah, so the city council rules or policy says if you want to sell a piece of property, you have to get an appraisal. But if it's valued at less than $10,000, you don't need to pay, because an appraisal can be several thousand dollars,
right,
and it wouldn't make any sense.
Right.
So the city got a broker's price opinion,
mm-hmm,
which is a quick and dirty appraisal, so to speak.
Right.
And that was for $1,075.
Right.
The city actually managed to get $3,000 as the sale price.
Do you think it had been put up for bid, the city would have gotten more than $3,000?
In a heartbeat. If you put it up between a bid between the Rancheria and Land Trust, I think in a heartbeat they would have.
So I think that land could have gone up, even though it's not worth it, it could have gone up to, you know, six figures.
I have no idea what it could go to.
But we'll never know.
I suspect it would be more than $3,000.
Yeah. I just find this, again, It's sleazy. I'm sorry. It is.
I'll say it. It's sleazy.
It's obvious that the city council is against the Rainy Rancheria expanding out there. Of course, there's other, you know, county too. But to do something like this, it just looks bad.
Well, and I will say, Sierra Pacific's done a lot for the community, and the Rancheria has done a lot for the
community.
Absolutely.
So
I don't want to cast aspersions on either one. I understand they both want to do things in their economic self-interest, and that's perfectly acceptable.
And it was probably as far as Sierra Pacific is concerned, this was a good move for them. But the way it was done, so I've got no complaints, because they're bringing up their ideas, what they want to do. It's up to the city council to keep all this fair.
I don't blame Sierra Pacific for trying.
Absolutely
and
not.
And I don't blame the Indians for opposing it.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, the way it goes. It's just, and that gets me back to my full indemnity, which is this is just a gigantic, the city gets sued quite a bit. Well, they get sued as a part of the normal course of business.
Sure.
And some are valid and some are not valid, and they have to be defended. But when you have an opportunity to either avoid a lawsuit or to avoid any cost to the taxpayers if you believe there's a lawsuit. And I've been a lawyer since 1978. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out you're going to get sued if you do this. And to not agree to full indemnity, it's mind-boggling to me. But it didn't go that way. It went 4-1, and that's the way life goes. If the council lives with what the council does.
Okay. We're with Reading City Councilman Michael DeQuisto. He voted against the land sale. Not so much he was against the land sale. He knew that, though, that there was going to be a lawsuit. And the city council said that when they signed the contract, they didn't go for full indemnity.
And that's the heart of it.
And if it doesn't go for full indemnity and this lawsuit drags out and gets expensive, anything over $100,000, and you may think $100,000, that seems like, well, that's a lot of money. No, it's not lawsuits, is it?
Lawyers aren't cheap.
No, and they're charging $600 an hour or $1,000 an hour, depending on who you get. And then, so the whole thing could have been avoided by the full indemnity.
That's my view.
Or waiting and doing it in open session.
Well,
people talk about it.
There was also some discussion as to waiting until, because the application for the conversion of the property for the casino was not withdrawn, it was placed on hold. One of the conditions could have been when they withdraw the application, meaning they're not going to, if they do that, then we'll sell it at that time.
Yeah.
Which, if they withdraw it, that means they're not going to build it, and that takes away your potential liability for interfering with their economic advantage, and it makes the deal a lot cleaner.
Okay.
But that wasn't on the table.
Wasn't on the table. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, where they have a small case, not a large case, it used to be larger, and it says Carl on it. So Carl can go in there and make up for any of the things that I don't know, stupidly do, like voting to sell a piece of property that they shouldn't have. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Great people down there. The only full-service jewelry store in Reading. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We'll be right back.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got you.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
And good morning and welcome back to our morning show on this Wednesday. Some people would call it hump day. We miss our camel. Say what day would.
Some people were offended.
They were offended because
what hump day means. You know what that means?
He was just a crazy guy. You know, if you've ever been in an office environment or any kind of environment.
Oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Now, see, if you've ever liked any really good television from the 60s and the 70s, there's a guy like that. There was a guy like that in Cheers. Am I dating myself? Absolutely, because I like, politically correct at a certain point just absolutely drives me up the wall. Hey, it's the 16th. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. Can't wait to continue our show here. It's Carla Linda Bott. We're live this morning. And this portion of the show is brought to you by one of our fabulous community banks. That's Cornerstone. It's community-oriented, dedicated team of professionals committing to provide the highest level of personal service. There's several Cornerstone banks in town, and we bank with them as well.
Yes, we do. Okay, we're here with Michael DeQuisto, and we've been talking about Reading City Council, and been talking about that sale of property that's already caused a lawsuit and could be another lawsuit over it. But let's move on to...
Let's talk about something good.
Let's talk about what's going on in Stillwater. It looks like Stillwater's being bought.
So Stillwater, last night, the City Council approved two land sales, for lack of a better word, but they're not going to be completed right away, of Stillwater property. One is to a local company called Moss Energy. Which they've been around for a while.
The show. And Moss Energy is, they put these energy producing machines, they put them out at dairy farms.
They do.
And they take all the slurry and all the manure and put it in there, and it produces electricity.
They came to our angel group. It's a fascinating business. And they do very well. So they're interested in buying a lot out there.
Right.
And then there was a company called Panattoni, which is out of Sacramento, that's a developer.
San Francisco.
They have offices over the country. But I think they're in Sacramento. They were around a few years ago, and then they kind of withdrew.
Right.
They've gotten interest now from people in the Bay Area that want to move out and move up here because of the lower land cost, essentially. And they don't have any land in the Bay Area.
Right. How many acres are they talking about?
Half the park. And the basic outline of that deal is they say, look, it takes us a while to market and get these people interested. So, effectively, we want to tie up the property. If you get a sale in the meantime, let us know for a specific lot, and we'll see what we can go do. Maybe we'll buy it or maybe we won't.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good thing, and we're very hopeful about that. And what they do is they basically build to suit. So they would get a tenant, get plans, do this and that. And then they buy the lot, and they build it for the tenant, and they get lease payments back is how they go.
Right.
But they would buy it from the city.
And so then they would build to what the new tenant wants.
It's
going to – okay, new construction. Okay.
And so that part's good.
And then Moss wants to.
Two other things. Downtown – there was – for the old mall, there was essentially – the equivalent of a homeowners association, which was a business improvement district, and the owners of the mall would contribute. Well, because we basically don't have the mall anymore, we have a new configuration of all kinds of things. The council voted last night to disband the old entity and to work with the business owners to create a new entity to essentially do the same kind of thing. So that's a good thing. That's moving forward on that part. And the third item that's good news is that the city council approved, I think it was last session, we approved giving out $750,000 in grant money from the CARES Act money that we received to businesses. And we got essentially 240 applications, 120 we funded for the whole 750, another 120 they did not fund. But they got out. They got it out quickly. They did it fast. It's going to help the businesses. We've got several appreciation letters.
Would you have heard
by now? Heard what?
Would you have heard if you've been selected for that?
I don't. They haven't actually cut all the checks. I think they're going to cut a few more checks this week. And I don't know if you would heard or not, but if you could follow up and see. And the other thing that we heard is that the county's giving out $3 million. So we asked the city staff to notify the people that applied that weren't accepted or didn't get in time or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever the reason was, to get a hold of them and say, hey, go watch for the county and their newsletter or whatever they're going to do and go apply with the county because it's I think it's going to be the same kind of program or they want it to be. And it's pretty simple. It's just grant money and you apply.
Yeah.
People applied anywhere from $2,000 to $10,000, so that they didn't all apply for $10,000. Some only needed two or three. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So the
those
city
are
is,
good things.
Those are good things for the city. There's a lot of good news for the city that's going on. We had a budget report or a finance report last night, and the income is not – it's still a little uncertain from the COVID effects, mm-hmm. but it's not down as bad as they anticipated it could be. It'll take a few more months to know. For
and
sure.
Our unemployment rate in Redding, or is it Shasta County, is literally 2 points lower than the rest of the state. Is that correct? It was either Redding or Shasta County. For the first, I mean, that's historic. We've never been lower than the state that we are now.
I don't know the answer to that, but if you say so.
I saw that, and I think I was talking to another city council person
last night,
and they mentioned that.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was.
Yeah,
so the city is doing good things and things to benefit the citizens, and they gave out a bunch of money to try to help people and help businesses. In my personal view, all the businesses ought to be open, and you ought to. You know, the city council chambers ought to be completely open and move forward.
Why aren't we? Is it just because it takes a three-person vote to do that?
To take a three-person vote, the mayor is technically in charge of how to run the meetings and what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there are still some guidelines that the health officer, I think, has set forth about mass gatherings and whatnot. And, you know, so they let the public in, but they don't let you just go in and sit there. And, you know, it's a huge chamber. It holds 200 people.
Well,
you've got plenty of room.
Right.
If you
look over the headlines this morning, nationwide, worldwide-wise, the headlines are all regarding that there's still outbreaks and COVID restrictions, not just here in our city, but people are dealing with that. Disney's asked to, so please open.
We have to run. Hey, Michael DeQuisto, thank you so much for being with us today and telling us what happened in that meeting.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Thank you.
Hey, when we come back, we've got Sheriff Eric McGrinney.